Today we are celebrating the third Sunday of Easter, and it's also the 39th Earth Day. So we've been doing this for a while. And much has happened since the last time we had Earth Day. Both the Arctic and the Antarctic are showing signs of thermal stress. We are having ice shelves falling into the ocean. We've never had that happen in our lifetime for the Antarctic before. China has now surpassed the United States when it comes to producing greenhouse gases. Something to be really proud of, I'm sure. The global economics have been turned absolutely upside down, and we have a new president who is focused on developing alternative energies to power our future. To say the least, it has been and continues to be a roller coaster experience, up and down and up and down. So we should be able to identify with the gospel for today on some level. Did you notice in the gospel how it portrays Jesus as the environmentalist? I don't see many people agreeing with me. Not that obvious. Well, perhaps if we look a little bit deeper, you'll discover, as I have, that Jesus really is an environmentalist at heart. The gospel today, according to Dr. Luke in his last chapter, takes place in Jerusalem, where the 11 disciples and others had gathered for that first Easter day. This has been an emotional roller coaster for them. For only days before, they had experienced the brutal crucifixion of Jesus, and still in shock, they are trying to rationalize his death as they are faced with a new crisis. The tomb has been found empty. In addition, two men have just rushed in and are telling how Jesus appeared to them as they walked on the road to Emmaus. And now Jesus has teleported himself in. He didn't walk in. He just said he appeared. And is greeting them with peace. Peace! That is the farthest thing from their minds. Shock? Yes. Confusion? Yes. Terror? Yes. Peace? Not so much. Beam me up, Scotty. Well, that's a definite maybe. Jesus confronts their fears and their doubts. And instead of giving them a good scolding for their lack of belief or a dissertation on transubstantiation, he appeals to their physical senses of sight and hearing and touch, and then later on of taste and smell when the broiled fish comes out. These are the attributes of a physical being as we understand it, and not that of an apparition. Jesus has to establish that he is a physical being before he can actually get the disciples' attention. Otherwise, he would not have been able to explain to them the scriptures and how they were fulfilled, much less finish by giving them their mission, which is to proclaim in his name the repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. And then lastly, they are given a role, witnesses. So where is Jesus the environmentalist? Well, what would you call a person who puts their life on the line for others, confronts the sins of neglect, greed, abuse of the weak, and poisoning of the defenseless, and seeks to restore the oppressed, the sickened, and the nearly exterminated? Would you call this person Rachel Carson, who in 1963 authored a book, Silent Spring, which brought forth the what was happening with DDT and the effects, and actually started off this whole thing called Earth Day? Would you call this person Aldo Leopold, who is the father of the U.S. Wildlife Management Services? Or Jane Goodall, the English UN messenger of peace, who spent many years studying chimpanzees? Or John Muir, the founder of the Sierra Club? Or Henry David Thoreau, who authored a book called Walden, which has inspired other great leaders such as Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Or James Lovelock, who is a Nobel Prize for discovery of CFCs in the atmosphere, and led to us changing the way that we take care of CFCs and not put them in the atmosphere and destroy the ozone layer. Our Marjorie Stoneham Douglas, who authored The Everglades and brought forth the destruction that was happening in the Florida Everglades. Our David Suzuki, a contemporary Canadian working on oceans, fishing, climate change, and other things as well. So who would you call a person who puts their life on the line and confronts the sins of neglect and greed, and who seeks to restore the oppressed and the sickened and the nearly exterminated? I would call him Jesus, the environmentalist, because he has given us a mission as witnesses of these things, of the neglect and of the restoration. And in his name, we proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the nations. And begin here. So we need to repent and turn from our insatiable appetite for oil-based energy and material. Our selfish squandering of resources that just go into our overflowing landfills. And our denial that we are actually complicit with holding back developing countries. When we are forgiven, we must do the right thing by harnessing the sun's light, the wind, the ocean's power. Not only here, but more importantly, now that we have this technology, we can use it in places to pump water for people who need clean water, provide light for children to read by and seek an education, and to refrigerate medicines, not our homes, but medicines. No longer can we deny those who are kept in the slavery of poverty, disease, and ignorance from access to this green generation of energy. We have the power to transform our world. On this Earth Day Sunday, our role as witnesses to all of creation is to confront our fear of climate change, rising oceans, drought, disease, acidifying oceans, and social unrest. Recognize the physical reality of this. Understand what got us to this point. And get on with a mission of changing our relationship to energy and to materials and wealth and social injustice. So, you still doubt that Jesus was an environmentalist? Compare your carbon footprint to his. He walked almost everywhere. Or he used a sailboat, Pastor. And the biggest gas guzzler he ever rode was a donkey into Jerusalem. And what about recycling? Well, he took water and turned it into wine. He took a couple of loaves of fish and bread, deconstructed it, and fed 5,000 people. And on the subject of alternative transportation, forget the bus and the rail. Teleportation is a much better and economical way to travel. Beam me up, Jesus! And so, what about these interesting photovoltaics that we're showing here today? And about the green generation? We still have 4 more weeks of Easter to work on that. And the good news today is that you are witnesses of these things. Amen.